It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me just address this texter first. 630 texter, Curtis. Ken, do not talk bad about the parlay playboy. I'm not talking bad about Wiggy, the parlay playboy, or the parlay princess. I'm just, as an overseer of the morning show, which is having great success, kudos to you and the entire staff, 15-plus share, 15.3, I think 15.3 share in October. Oh. Maybe the highest monthly in morning show history. I can't find another monthly that was higher. Men 25-54, so you guys are rolling. But with that success.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you. Great job by you.
Excellent job. I got to tell you, Ken Laird, not just because I was him briefly this week.
Briefly? It was 4 hours.
I came in. I'm not good at sticking in character. I never really thrived in play. I was never a thespian. The midday show of Jones and Keefe.
They're rocking, yeah.
Doing a great is job. Rocking.
great job this week.
Great job. They are coming together. And if you haven't listened to the midday for a bit, if your work has been shifted, it is awesome. They do a great job. It's fun. I love Billy Lanny. Mm-hmm. I love those guys. And Jones and Keefe are rolling.
Totally agree. But my concern is with the parlay playboy and the parlay princess, who are like spraying money around. I don't know how many hams they're throwing on these games, but they're betting a lot. I mean,
well, Jermaine Wiggins is eating hams.
He could be that too. We saw some of that last night at Greg's party. The
Hamburgers.
He was transitioning into the sliders quickly.
Well, I have to tell you, the fun size cookie or fun size candy bar is the biggest thing that it's just so evil because everyone feels small.
Yeah.
Then you have like, you
then
realize
you have eight
that,
of them,
then you look at the nutrition, it's like 3 is what, equal to 1 and you've had 15 of them.
But do
get
you,
your hands off my donuts!
Do you worry that the parlay playboy and the parlay princess are handling success poorly? Like, are they letting it? You know, we've seen these Hollywood stars.
They're
that just
cashing
blossom.
Bonus checks they haven't yet received.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want Charlie Sheen, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears like type meltdowns. So I have to be cautious about this. That's part of my job.
Well,
have to keep everybody grounded here.
What I think they're doing is a great service to the betting public in showing the downfalls and the pitfalls of getting into very big multi-leg parlays. Because Wiggy's, you know,
these are PSAs.
Right. I respect Wiggy because he goes all in or he goes home. So he doesn't want to do a bet that's going to give him $100. He needs to have some real juice, as they say. My concern is that I don't know how much the audience likes hearing about failed bets, but maybe they do because we go through these like 10-leg breakdowns for 15 minutes. Nonetheless, I think that they'll hit one at some point this weekend.
They will.
If you've listened to me, you've been undefeated. I mean, I had 2 in the Ohio State-Oregon game. I had Oregon and the over. I had Notre Dame -14 over the, was it Georgia Tech last week? Or no, Navy. Blue Navy.
As Costo said, he remembers your bets better than you do.
That's true. Well, it's because I beat him head-to-head. And then today at noon, Ohio State.
That's too many. You're already a too many. You are a better small-volume better. You have an instinct. Usually they're pretty good. Your record on like one-off bets for the weekend, I think you should live in that space.
Well, that's what I have.
Get pulled into the parlay playboys.
Well, I don't parlay. No.
Okay.
No. I'm not doing that. I have no desire to. I bet on, I did two bets last week. I won one, lost one. I was up 25. I cashed out. Not a good sign for me to keep putting money down.
What do you think of Diana Rossini these days and her reporting?
You have the exact same story.
Yeah.
Great minds. She's very sensitive about criticism, so I'll say she does a great job.
Okay. Keefe often mocks her. And Keefe is 100% right almost all the time. His scoop that Montgomery's on the hot seat, I totally believe. Absolutely right. Ownership is poised to strike if he doesn't turn it around. They may have to win today to save his job. Yes? In Philly? Bad things happen in Philly.
Philly sucks this year, too.
Yeah, and they already lost to him earlier in the week.
Right. You go there and get like skunked today, Monty doesn't come back to Boston.
Ooh.
Stay in Philly.
He doesn't even survive the back-to-back?
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Swayman still hates Monty for not giving him the gig the last couple years.
Yeah.
He's playing like dog food to get him fired.
Could be. I still go back to the Marchand push. It was kind of a tap, but he chewed him out on the bench. He embarrassed him in public. You don't do that to the captain.
Who are they bringing in to replace him?
Bergeron. Bring in his buddy.
Grapes?
Yes, bring in Grapes. Milbury and Grapes. Bring it back.
Milbury is an interesting character. Okay.
Right, notice, Curtis, how every one of his coaching replacements for Ken is a Red Sox legend.
Right.
Or any legend in general.
What's wrong with that?
If Mazzulla gets fired, like, he'll probably go to Larry Bird.
Paul Pierce.
Cousy. Cousy was just back.
I mean, Cousy could do about 20 Sox games.
So Diana Rossini is reporting. Do you have the full...
No, I just have Dakota Randall's quote of it.
All right. Well, anyway, some players the Patriots have made available for trade, per Diana Rossini, include... Kyle Duggar.
Did you hear Courtney give her five Mount Rushmore members, speaking of Dakota?
Well, she wanted to expand Mount Rushmore.
Okay,
I got a problem with that. That's certain in the Bill of Rights.
Both her and Shime didn't understand what I said it was for.
Kendrick Bourne, Devon Godshaw, who they just re-signed, right? And Tyquan Thornton, which obviously that's almost the moot point. Who's going to trade for Tyquan Thornton? But the other three are pretty interesting. Now, Kendrick Bourne, let's start there, receivers. They have too many receivers on this team. They need to get rid of some.
This is going to go right up the tailpipe of Bill Belichick.
If they trade Bourne.
Well, no. Godshaw and Duggar. I mean,
well, yeah.
His two whoobies.
And guys that they just re-signed.
Right. But I do love...
Should they consider trading veterans like this, though, if it's part of the rebuild process and the return is good?
I want actual... if I were Elliott Wolff today, I would say... I want to go after Crosby with the Raiders. I want to go after guys that have big deals, that are on bad teams, that have massive contracts, because you have the ability to withstand it. You are not even anywhere near whatever the stupid fake salary cap is. Use this opportunity to take on malcontents to try and see if they'll work here, because you know the free agent market, whether it's the millionaire's tax, whether it's whatever, it's going to be difficult. So bring them in when they don't have a choice.
Mm. Would the Bengals sell? Like, is T. Higgins that all that talk about? You have too many receivers, you're looking to get rid of some. But still, if you can trade and sign. But anyway, back to Bourne. Is he part of the future?
No.
He's pretty good. I like him.
I don't know. None of these people are. What do you mean? When I look at this organization and I see part of the future, I see Drake May, I see Christian Gonzalez, Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson.
Vadarian Lowe.
Bentley, middle linebacker. I like him when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Keon White.
But I wonder, and Duggar, I wonder because they just won without him.
No, it's if not that's... that. The Godshaw one's concerning, though, because he's been the one who's been publicly ripping players.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an offshoot of what Mayo wanted. I think he's overpaid, but that's a... I wouldn't love that. I mean, unless you're talking about a top, you know, a second round pick or something.
What would you think of trading Duggar, Bourne, or Godshaw? 617-779-7937. Are the Patriots in rebuild mode to the point where you should consider all that?
Well, 603 texter says we're dogging Thornton. He hasn't had a good QB. 603, I don't know what you do for a living, but go back and watch the Patriots game on Sunday.
It was early last week.
I mean, the ball was literally in his lap, and he dropped it. One of the more pathetic plays I've ever seen.
I want to take Paulie from Denham. He's been very dedicated this morning. Paulie, sorry we let you hang so long. How are you? Paulie.
Oh, Hey, what's happening? Ken, Lynn, always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure, sir. Curtis, I'm with you on this one. You use with this defense down in Tennessee, fans going nuts. We're just having a concussion. You want to give them a headache just with the noise alone. I mean, you don't want to take a chance at this point. You use them as a decoy. Pretend you're getting them ready to play. And you insert them as your emergency quarterback. You call it a game-time decision. Insert them as your emergency quarterback. And I'll go from there. There's Milton backing up Brissett. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Paul. Enjoy your Saturday. So he's nervous about Drake playing, too. Well, that's back to should Drake play. And you and I are in alignment. Dumb. Why are we pushing him? What is the point?
I wouldn't even have him fly to Tennessee.
Just hang out here with...
I think there still exists the potential that he stays here. 10% chance.
No, they're taking him. I mean, when Schefter is reporting Wednesday that it's looking promising, guys have come back, he's on track to play.
Whoa, I did not get that same read from Schefter in that report with the afternoon show.
All right, well, I'm paraphrasing.
He said he would be surprised.
Like he did?
I think it's in GHS Daily, Joe. We played it the other day on the Greg Hill show. But when he was on with
RK, he said the average was 8 days.
My mind was in a direction and I was just seeing if he'd lead his way there, but we can use it whenever we find the audio.
I think it's the kind of thing where, you'd like to get him back, but typically, most players don't make it back for the next week. And so it's just, if you look at it, I think the average return to play is about 8 days. And I think if you've got a young quarterback, you're going to be even more careful than normal. So I know he was listed as limited today, and I know there's a chance that he could make it back, and I know they'll give him every opportunity. But just on its surface, my general reaction would be I probably would be a little surprised if he did make it back and clear through, but every player is different with every concussion protocol.
All right. I just got the vibe listening to him, maybe it's in my own head, that things were starting to change that day where he was limited and it was like he has a chance to play. It was a surprise. And nothing has changed on that.
Well, Wednesday was the first day that we would have known anything because from Sunday to Wednesday, there was never any reporting on him. I believe that Wednesday before practice, Gerard Mayo announced that he would be limited. But I'm sorry. He could play and he's fine. And then, they dodge a bullet and I'm wrong. But I just, you know what's the thing is? This is a group of people that are in their infancy as full operators of the wheel of an NFL franchise.
Yep.
And if this is how bad, in my view, your decision-making is in balancing the future with what's going on now, it impacts how I believe that this crew can successfully rebuild this organization.
Well, thank God for the Celtics. They are well-run. They get a win last night. Joe Braverman has the details and trending. You can also vote on our Twitter poll. Why did Grant Williams truck Tatum? That is a hot debate on the Twitter feed. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but here's Joe with what happened last night.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics rebounded from their first loss of the year with a 124-109 win in Charlotte against the Hornets. It was close for much of the night until an implosion from the Hornets led to an 11-0 run in the fourth quarter that was sparked by old friend Grant Williams' flagrant 2 foul on Jason Tatum, which Jaylen Brown talked about in his postgame and had a lot more than take an exception to it.
Actions speak loud, so it is what it is. We got the win, we move on, but, there's no place in the game for that. I thought JT and Grant was friends. I guess not.
Well, JT still had a good night. He finished with 32 points and 11 rebounds. JB, who you just heard, added 25, 6, and 5. These two will do it again from Charlotte tonight. Tip-off set for 6 o'clock. The final injury report is out for the Patriots as they head to Nashville to face the Tennessee Titans. Drake May is among 8 Patriots that are questionable. He continues to be in the concussion protocol. May is there with Alex Austin, Kyle Duggar, Christian Ellis, Michael Jordan, Vidarian Lowe, Jaquelin Roy, and Sione Takitaki. For Tennessee, a lot of starters on the list. Defensive back Legarius Sneed and running back Tajay Spears have both been ruled out. Tony Pollard, Will Levis, Devondre Sweat, and Amani Hooker are questionable. Pats and Titans kick it off from Nissan Stadium tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Bruins return to the ice as they look for redemption against the Flyers this afternoon in Philly. Bees have lost 5 of their last 6. This includes an 8-2 shellacking last time out in Carolina on Thursday. Puck drop is set for 1 o'clock. And college football Saturday is headlined today by a Big Ten showdown between number 4 Ohio State and number 3 Penn State in Happy Valley. That kicks off a little less than an hour from now at noon. Later on today, we have top-ranked Oregon taking on Michigan. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage from the Big House beginning at 3 o'clock following Fitzy and Mego. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems as though Drake May is progressing pretty quickly through this concussion protocol. Any word on if they expect him to play this weekend? Do you expect him to play this weekend?
Just based upon, Christian, the way he's trending, I would kind of expect him to play using Brock Purdy, who suffered a concussion earlier this year, kind of as a guide. While May might not be able to take part in all the live reps, and again, it's not really even in the hands of the team, so you can't ask anybody and say, do you think he's going to play? It would be hypothesizing because you don't know how he's going to feel. But based upon the trending, I would say more likely than not that he would play, but don't hold me to that.
Well, I think we are going to hold him to that in the sense that I think he's right. More likely than not that Drake may play. So I think that's a cool start. Thanks. Thank you. Very good. Kenny Curtis Show here on EEI. Drake is trending to play. Curtis also has an interesting conspiracy theory he's developing here. He just left the studio for a minute, but he'll be back to expand on this. But the report from Diana Rossini is an interesting one. This is in, is it the New York Times, Joe, that this was posted? Or was this, no, it's ESPN. I don't know. The New York Times picked it up somehow. But the Patriots are active on the trade front. They're looking for offensive line help is another report, by the way, from Jeremy Fowler, just in from ESPN. They've looked into Cam Robinson before the Jags traded him to the Vikings. They've been in touch with free agent O-tackle DJ Humphreys. So that's good. That's a good sign that they're on the market for it. But so the Diana Rossini report is that they're open to trading several players, including Kyle Duggar, whose name we've not heard to this point, Devon Godshaw, whose name we've not heard to this point, Kendrick Bourne, and also Tyquan Thornton. Curtis, your theory, your conspiracy theory here is a good one. Can you like give the audience a little glimpse of that?
Is this Bill sullying the waters a bit? And because this has the potential, if this is, I will stipulate that if Godshaw, Duggar, and Thornton, well, not Thornton's irrelevant, and Bourne, if Bourne, Duggar, and Godshaw all said, we'd like to go to a better team or whatever, you know, this team's not going anywhere, we'd like to go to a contender if it can help both parties, then this is a non-issue. But if they're finding this out today as they're boarding aircraft for Nashville, and these guys are, you know, Godshaw is a very vocal team guy who's been calling out players. Wasn't he the one who said they're being selfish?
Yeah, he said it to Jones and Keefe.
So
he's got a good podcast, too.
And this would be really bad if this is, because in my view, Godshaw saying that publicly was a good sign.
Yep.
That he's got control of the room and they're doing this for Mayo. They want to get this done. If he's being shopped because of his negative public comments about the team, that would be really bad. But
do you think Bill's that nefarious that he would sully the waters on purpose? I don't think he's got
I don't think there is a person that has ever lived that is more petty than Bill Belichick. I think the only guy that might be close is DJT.
Well, I mean, it could be an interesting flight.
Do you think you wrote him a beautiful letter this time?
Is he friends with Rossini? Well, that'd be a weird place for it to go.
Where's Rossini?
I don't know. Where is she?
Jersey.
Okay. Is that where Bill is now?
I mean, well.
Back in Jersey?
Don't Google Bill in New Jersey if you want to really look into things.
617-779-7937. It could be an interesting flight for the Bruins with Jim Montgomery, and it could be one for the Patriots reading this report that several of them are on the block. Like that, even if it's Diana Rossini, that's not like Schefter, But if you're Kyle Duggar and you're saying, wait a minute, my name's in the trade block? You wonder if the Patriots, like, PR staff would respond to this.
How would she know that he's available? Does that mean she's spoken to a team that has been offered him?
Well, that's what I mean. How does she know that? I guess that could be it, though.
This was an hour ago. Has anybody either co-signed it or, I mean, that is a bombshell.
I know. But again, I go back to Keefe is not a believer in her reporting skills. And I trust Keefe. Scoops Keefe knows all.
She got something wrong. Was it the Spygate part 3? There was something that
multiple things.
Yeah.
By the way, NHL Network just put out a tweet 2 hours ago. Not just put out, 2 hours ago. Is Jim Montgomery's seat heating up in Boston? And they got a picture of Jim on there. And it's got a quote from Bill Lindsay, former executive, who says, Jim Montgomery is not going to be the coach of the Bruins by Thanksgiving. I've just got a feeling it's trending that way. This is the official network of the NHL putting that out. I know it's like they try to get clicks and have entertainment and commentary as well, but could you see the NFL Network putting out like a similar type thing? Hot seat, is this guy going to be coaching? Maybe.
Yeah, when Rap Sheet gets fed something by Robert.
But this is now like widespread. Nobody thinks Montgomery's going to be around long.
No.
This is like taken off to the point where it's almost... It would be a shock if he's still the coach on Monday.
It's just, what a weird era. I know we're on the Patriots and whatever, but how will we view this 15-year Bruins run in 20 years? Like, when you look at...
Missed opportunities more so than the one title.
Right? I mean, and Don Sweeney, this will be his third coach. How many people are allowed to hire three separate people to coach their team?
In the NHL, it's more common, I guess, than... Other sports. Coaches do get fired.
So then this would be his last one.
Might be his last one.
You're not going to get four.
they're about stability. Not with coach, but with the front office and executives.
And I found over the summer at one of our road shows, we were out and about with some people that would know about the Bruins in ways that I think are inarguable. And you might have been with me at the table when we were talking to this gentleman. And he said that Cam and the elder Jacobs... are still very much in communication, that Jeremy Jacobs, I don't know how old he is, but he is still heavily invested in terms of understanding what's going on with this team. It's not just Charlie.
Well, that's good, though. You rip the Red Sox for not being invested.
Well,
Bruins are invested.
Jeremy Jacobs and John Henry have things in common. They both forced a cap or to curb spending and relinquished an advantage they both shared. But
nothing against Jim Montgomery, but the team is so out of whack. I know it's early. They're like four. It's only 10 games in. But don't you think it's just as a fan, it's worth a shot?
And the other thing is, we can't say it's just 10 games because that's a month of baseball. So at the end of April, there's a lot of people that have a lot of thoughts about the Red Sox that they don't wait until July to have. So in an 82 game year, 10 games, you're eighth of the way through.
Eighth of the way through. All right, now, Danny from Quincy's on the line. And before we bring Danny on, just a quick reminder, this Friday is our Lunch with a Hero Veterans broadcast. Out at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson with the morning show, 6 to 10 a.m., open to the public. Great facility, 66,000 square feet. They have a ton of cool exhibits and military vehicles on display. Of course, famously, Curtis, you saw that Greg rode in the tank. I think we're going to try to get Wiggy on the tank. And we're going to have Joe Landry there.
And last night we saw Wiggy tanked.
We did. Many people tanked at the Greg Hill birthday party. But it's Joe Landry's birthday, his 100th birthday, Friday. So... he's going to be there, and he was at the Battle of the Bulge. So was Danny from Quincy's father.
That's right.
And he sent the link for you to check out his dad's interview, and I forgot to share it with you. So I just want to say that right away. And I think Danny might try to come to the show Friday, right, Danny?
Oh, that would be awesome.
What time are you there at the museum until?
6 to 10 a.m.
10?
Yeah, 10, 10:30.
All right, I'll try to make it. I'll try.
That'd be
I'll
great.
Try my best. I love to meet that guy, you know?
Look forward to seeing you if you get there, Danny.
I appreciate it. And, Ken, thanks for did you watch the video, Ken?
I have watched a little bit of it, but not the whole thing. I need to watch
it. All right, that's fine. It takes, it takes some time. It's an hour. There's two parts, an hour each part, you know. But, Curtis, you might be interested in watching it, you know.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to check it out.
He's just a pedestrian guy telling his experience when he got, he drafted and through whatever, the whole round, going over on the old Queen Elizabeth to England. And anyways, it's pretty interesting. Even I know I'm biased because he was my dad, but still, the story's pretty good, anyway,
Danny, I'm not going to let you go. All those stories can never be told enough. They have to be told.
No,
it's the most unbelievable generation.
As an unbiased person, when I used to hear him telling the story about his, he used to actually had the ability to put me, like I could picture myself in their situations and getting shot at, and I would say, "Geez, Dad, I don't know how you ever did it." And he said, "And I could never do it. I could never make it." He said, "Danny, you'd get killed the first day."
Yeah, but I would have been one of the guys that died on the ride over. I would have just, yeah. I don't know, my fear would have overtaken me. I have no balls.
Anyways, but he used to, anyway, Ken, thanks for mentioning that. I'm going to try to make it. All right. So now, Curtis, now you changed your mind on the Drake May. Now, is this strictly related to the concussion?
Yes, only concussion. That's it.
All right. Because my biggest fear about putting him in front of that offensive line at the beginning of the season was that they didn't build the infrastructure in front of him to get him to be his best. And I was fearing for his safety, and I got pushed back. Well, this is football. You're going to get hit.
Right.
That hit was just coincidence. That defender was going in for a waist tackle, and his head went to ground level as he was trying to make a waist tackle. I watched it again before I called you to make sure I knew what I was talking about. And I don't think the pressure, May's ability to recognize when no one's open is to run. And I don't think that was a function of bad offensive line play, Ken.
I did watch it back. It was a four-man rush, and there was just a gap, and he exploited and took off. So you're kind of right. You're kind of right. It was not really like the pocket broke down.
And the touchdown he scored was not a function of bad offensive line either. I think he just recognized he has the ability to read quick, and when nobody's open, he's going to run. You know, and I don't know. Anyways, it's unfortunate because that was the only thing to look forward to. And on the defensive side, and I know you're going to rip me for this one, but I know Matthew Judon, I don't think he's having his best year for Atlanta, but the biggest problem on their defense, on their pass defense, is they have no pass rush at all.
They have no big plays. They don't have disruptive plays. They don't. You're right, zero.
It's a and I think it's a function of the coaching on the defensive side of the ball. At least with Judon, he was on one side. Uche was on the other. And I don't know how you could say that they nailed the third round. The trade for Judon was for next year's pick, correct?
It was
2025. So how is that pay? How is that? How do they bang out that trade, Ken? How do they nail that trade when the benefits are unrealized?
What? Because the prospect of having a guy through. First of all, if today the Patriots had Matthew Judon and he had those stats, there's no way they would get a third-round pick. So they got a great deal.
Third-round pick's not nothing. That's legit.
For a guy
I know. Since when are we putting a third-round pick in? I don't know.
I'm not the one who created the value chart, but in the NFL, a third-round pick is valuable. Matthew Judon has sucked onions.
I just know this, that every time a player complained about a contract under Bill Belichick, the media always sided with the player. Give him the money. Why'd you let him go? J.C. Jack. Oh, I can get on the list. And this guy wanted money, wanted to stay here, and they let him go, and there was no complaining about it.
Because
nothing.
They made the right decision. Don't you understand it, Danny?
I don't think they did.
Why?
So you don't think they're rebuilding?
Danny, I love you. I mean it. I appreciate it. And your stories about your dad are great. This is not personal. But you are so blinded by this.
That way.
By this deranged, like, value chart. Accept it, Danny. Bill Belichick screwed things up royally. This roster sucks, in large part because of him. Also the owner, also bad drafts with scouts, everybody else. But the Matthew Judon signing was great at the time, but he had no real use on this team, and they got a third-round pick for a guy that's played like absolute crap, who was trying to ruin the new coach by standing him up on the field. Everything about that trade worked out, Danny.
How do you know? He wasn't given a chance to perform under this coach, Gerard Mayo.
Well, Danny's right about this. They don't have a pass rush. You agree with that?
They have no pass rush.
Right. So
nothing.
Neither do the Falcons with Matthew Judon.
Well, now he's hurt.
I, I, we're not talking about the Falcons.
No.
Matthew Judon was here. He was a leader on the defense.
He was really leading people when he was telling people to go talk to Robert Kraft during training camp.
And then Uche, they got, what, a 2026 pick for him?
That's horrible.
Yeah. These are players that are 2 and 3 years away. This is crazy. We're trying to win now.
Are they really? Are they trying to win now, Danny?
Well, talk to Mayo. He seems to be your new friend, Curtis.
Okay. I don't know. Do you ever see Belichick at the beach with Mermaid or what?
I even mentioned Belichick.
That was a low blow.
Mention Belichick because you can't defend it.
No,
the roster sucks because he is an egomaniacal narcissist.
Your Belichick deranged, Curtis, every win the Patriots.
Danny, how do the Patriots have as many wins as they did last year with Bill Belichick through 8 games? Can you explain that to me?
This coach, Gerard Mayo, about if the Patriots win under Gerard Mayo, this is about you having a referendum on Bill Belichick.
So why do they have as many wins with the lesser team?
My enemy is my friend. Cannot criticize Gerard Mayo at all because you don't want him to fail because you want him to stick
at
the Belichick.
It's my turn to speak.
All right, thank you.
Why do you do that? We're in the middle of an argument.
Oh, I thought we were done. He had 6 minutes.
Oh, my God. Patriots, this is what I deal with on a daily basis with Greg and on the Saturdays with Ken to a lesser degree because you know I'm right, and Danny and others. When the team's losing, it's a clear indictment that Mayo's way doesn't work, and Bill's did. Correct? That we talk about how much he speaks, what they share about the injuries, virtual reps. Up and down the list, we are told, based on the record, that Gerard Mayo's approach clearly is not successful, and they were silly to stop it with the guy that was the best to ever do it.
You know I don't believe that.
But I'm not putting it on you, but that is what you hear from people.
I hear
people.
That. Bill people, yes.
Okay.
Block at that.
I would say the vast majority of Bill
when
fans
they were soft.
Point to the record and the failures on the field as to why the Patriots made the wrong decision in putting in a rookie coach in Mayo and firing Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Yet, when their record is now identical through 8 games, and you bring up the record, you are told by Danny and others, who cares about the record? None of this matters. You can't have it both ways. You just can't.
But you have to admit, Danny nailed it. The enemy of your enemy is your friend. You are hesitant to criticize Mayo because you want to see Bill look worse and Mayo succeed with same players.
But that would be one thing to be said if I didn't ask both questions.
You've asked Mayo tough questions.
So, I hold both accountable. I like Gerard Mayo because he's not an ass. Like, Bill Belichick is a royal ass. Like, he was just a dink. Even people like Greg, who sit across from him, who were nothing but kind to him, talking about family friends, and he's just farting into his seat. Just a total dink. Like,
has Bill ever worn the hoodie that Greg gave him? The cut-off sleeve Cisco Brewers hoodie?
I mean, it's just, he's just sitting there looking at a game log for 5 minutes. At least Mayo comes in as a human being.
I
want
like
you to be able to be successful if you're not an a-hole. Like, I think that would be good for football. And so now I get mad. People are mad at me when I like something, when I'm told I hate everything. I like Gerard Mayo. I want him to be successful.
I love it. Love to see it.
I mean, I hope they're good. If they're good, it's good for us. And honestly, you know, the same way how when the Patriots got to Indy for the combine and you had Elliot Wolf, me, the media, talking about the vibe change you had. And it was really a poor decision by the people that assumed their roles following the departure of Bill Belichick to try and sully his name or at least go out of their way to make it seem like big changes had to be made. Mm-hmm. It's already difficult enough to rebuild a football organization. You don't have to do it while simultaneously sullying the name of the guy that previously held the position that you hold. And so in that same light, I look at the way Bill's treated Mayo in the press, and it's like, you know, F off, dude.
Yeah, Mayo started it. You tricked him into saying, you tell me. That was the first blow.
It's not a trick. That's how he feels.
No. Well, yeah. But he wouldn't have said that if you hadn't got him off his game.
Okay. Well, is that a good job by me?
Yeah, but, I mean, I've witnessed this happen many times. It's just, it's Curtis working his Curtisness on somebody.
Well, like when Ben Bolin goes all in on a report.
Oh, God, you ruined Bolin.
Oh, what a great moment.
You tell me.
So you actually caused Bill to lash back. You have started this whole thing.
I love it. A little old me.
So you can't rip Bill.
Oh, I sure can. I love ripping Bill.
For being petty. I mean, Mayo went there first, and it's your fault.
It's just a wonder. You know what? For the first time, I know Julian Edelman was on with PMT, Part of My Take, I think, with Big Cat this week, and he was asked about Bill. And like before, I think it was Big Cat could even get the question out about will Bill coach. Edelman goes, hell yeah. So take it for what it's worth. Julian Edelman would know far better than
Of course he's going to coach.
I don't know.
If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one.
Yeah, what was your plan at quarterback, Bill?
Now, Bill got the ovation at Brady night.
That's right.
And at that point, would you say the sentiment was, you know, everybody loved Bill?
Everybody loves Bill.
Well, how about now? Now that the media has had 8 weeks to work its magic, do Patriots fans still love him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am definitely the exception to the rule. Okay. But
nobody's turned on him?
I mean, I think people turned on him at the end of the year, last year. I mean, the organization was awful. They were 4-13. It was a bad team. And they were a bad team thanks to the owners not spending, to Bill's bad drafting, to you name it, alienating players for no reason. But this Diana Russini, we talked about how Gerard Mayo had survived the soft comments.
Mm-hmm. Now he's got another challenge.
This is not great. It reminds me, remember when they had that report from Rap Sheet that said Mac was going to play the rest? There was some, and then Zappi all of a sudden went in. This strikes me as, if it is in the organization, it is a bad sign.
Do you think they should put Brissett up on the trade block?
What would you get for Jacoby Brissett?
I mean, maybe somebody wants a veteran backup.
Oh, God, they have the celebrity picker at Penn State. How about just have the seat empty in honor of Sandusky and Paterno?
Oh, jeez. All right, Fitzy and Mego are coming up at noon.
Have you ever seen that Happy Valley documentary?
I don't think I watched it.
Oh, it is so detestable. Talk about loathsome.
No, I did see that. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Awful.
The statue and everything.
Oh, my God.
It's Ken and Curtis. We'll have either Fitzy or Mego, perhaps, for a little crossover and talk about this Russini report next.
A head coach in the division has said, I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks, use Cam Newton as perhaps the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in this offense. I could be wrong, but I know one thing for a fact, and that's the New England Patriots love Jared Stidham.
Nice job, Joe. Joe Braverman found the Diana Russini, they love Jared Stidham report. Okay, so maybe she's not 100%. Maybe she's not batting 1,000. Diana Russini is the senior NFL insider for The Athletic, though, and the host of something called Scoop City, and she's got a report out that the Patriots have made available for trade Kyle Duggar, Kendrick Bourne, Devon Godshaw, and Tyquan Thornton.
I feel like Keefe should, like, be population me, Scoop City.
Yeah, Scoop City is a copyright infringement for sure.
I mean,
now, Mego's here, and Mego is covering the Celtics and the Patriots for us here at WEI, and she's on noon to 3 today with Fitzy. Hello, Mego.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have no idea where my headphones are, so I'm just going to I'm gonna raw dog this.
Oh, I love
as the kids say, which I don't want kids saying.
No.
Coming in hot on a Saturday.
It's a wild morning here. Ken just makes people lose their mind. There's something about him.
All right,
I was talking to Mego about Grant Williams in the hallway.
Oh, yeah?
Wild.
What do you think of the nickname Rectum at the Spectrum for Grant, since we're going down this?
I actually, and I'll just debut this here, I like to coin him the Grantichrist.
Whoa, wow, jeez.
Because you don't come at
Fitzy
Jason
is so
Tatum
mad
like
that he didn't think of that.
You don't come at Jason Tatum like that. Look, I had a soft spot for Grant when he was with the Celtics because he did quite a lot of work off the court, community stuff, which I always respect from athletes. I think that's really cool. Right. But that was so dumb. That was so stupid. I would say, what was he thinking? But he wasn't thinking. It's clear he wasn't thinking. He just came in literally like a bull in a china shop. And it's terrible enough to do that in a regular NBA against any, you know, Joe Schmo off the bench. You do that to Nemeas Keita. It's disrespectful. But you don't do that to the superstar who you are personal friends with, by the way, or were personal friends with. Because I don't know. It sounds like their dinner plans are off down in Charlotte.
Well, how about this? I mean, talk about the state of Boston sports. We got stuff cooking now. We got a back-to-back with Grant Williams tonight. It's hot stove season, which I know you're all over for the Red Sox.
So no to Boston.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Patriots have trade drama, and the Bruins might fire their coach today.
Yeah.
What a day.
It's just dysfunction.
But that was, I don't know about you, Mago, but like I was watching that, and in the moment, you just think, oh, just was going for the ball. Like,
yeah, especially it was a wide shot,
right.
So you don't see that he absolutely just trucked him like an inside linebacker.
And when they showed that replay, it's not often, I was shocked. I was like, there's literally, it was like the Caitlin Clark stuff. You know, it's like there's just basketball plays and then there's that. And it was so weird. And then the post game where he's acting like, I don't know. It was just...
He's acting like it was a hard foul under the rim or something.
Right.
Like he slapped an arm or he got tangled with somebody and, you know, threw an extra jab. And you see guys try to defend that all the time after the fact. There's no defending this. It was so dumb. It was so dumb.
Now, should Tatum have gotten in his grill? Tatum walked away and
I like that Jaylen did.
Yeah, me too.
Jaylen
came
over.
Moment.
I think Tatum...
It's kind of soft by Tatum. It's high road.
I don't think it's soft.
I think, why would you engage with him?
I almost think if it were me, I would just be so shocked that I'd go, like, what is wrong with
you? Well, he was. He, like, pushed the ref away, but then he went straight to the free throw line. So he was bothered by that.
I think that that's Tatum's way. I don't obviously know him in any way other than basketball, but I feel like, from what I observe, he is a guy that sees confrontation and goes to, you know, does his best to avoid the
fray. It's not his style.
Right.
It's definitely not his style. And I thought that I don't have a problem. Like, do I think it's soft? No, I just think it was an incredibly weird move by Grant Williams. And again, it's somebody who he was close to when he was on the Celtics.
And they let him in the locker room, for the celebration.
Yes. It's all so weird.
Very incestual.
It's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, maybe today, if I'm Grant Williams or if I'm a friend of his and giving him advice, I would say momentary insanity. I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to defend it last night. In hindsight, it was just a dumb thing.
That's where you do the Steve Kerr and you come out and you go, I feel like an idiot.
Right.
Except you don't do it again. And Steve Kerr benched Tatum in the Olympics again. So
speaking
don't follow through.
Kerr's back in town.
I know.
Where is the current state of the Boston sports villain list? Is Grant and Kerr ahead of Kyrie?
No. Grant Williams is, I mean, today.
Kerr might be.
Yeah,
Kerr might
is.
Be because it's so recent.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Garden when the Warriors come through on Tuesday. Nothing else is happening that day.
Oh, Steve Kerr, the boy. That'll
Wednesday,
be a rough Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday. Right. So right after.
They'll be here. Tuesday night.
Oh, they'll be here Tuesday.
Ooh, we should do an election watch party with Steve Kerr. I don't know the power rankings of villains right now, Ken, but I would say I would like...
Belichick?
Mega, what's your take on... I don't know if you've seen this. It just came out. But the Diana Russini stuff. Like, is this just... Do you guys think this is coming from the team? Is this other teams telling Diana Russini? Like, the fact
other teams would know if they're on the block. So that she could legitimately have sources... That have they're on the block.
So do you? So I guess then, if this is an issue, then it would be that it's the first time Godchild's finding out. Godchild that he's finding out.
Well,
that he's
this
crazy.
Isn't the first time that his name's been out there, though. I know this is like more of a report, but I've definitely read him over the past week as being somebody who could be dangled out there as a desirable piece to other teams that they could trade.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I think that. The bigger surprise to me is someone like Kyle Duggar, because that's someone who they seemingly held up at the beginning of the season or before the season when they were doing their free agency re-signings to say, hey, this is a guy who's going to be, you know, we drafted him and we developed him and he's going to be one of these big pieces of who the team is moving forward under Jerod Mayo. Now, Devon Godchow is somebody who's already gotten paid a lot here. And so I think that that's kind of two different categories, in my opinion. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's coming from the Patriots because they want people to know that they're open for business.
Interesting.
I mean, the team's not going anywhere this season. But they're pushing
May to play tomorrow.
If they're pushing May to play tomorrow, what does that have to do with it? That means they're in it to win it.
That's
just more of a development thing.
My thing would be then to look out because you know what happened last week. Ushe was a healthy scratch. So if any of these guys are close to a deal, then you're not going to see Godchild playing.
The goofy thing to me is, like, also with all the injuries that they've dealt with on defense, at some point you do have to field a team.
you know?
If you're going to be holding these guys out as healthy scratches and you start really going down the depth chart, I mean, not to single anyone out, but you look at guys who are in the locker room this year, like Jeremiah Farms was somebody who was trying to make the roster 2 years ago and like a total long shot. And now he's in the locker room.
Right.
And it just kind of shows you when we say like team guys that would be practice players on other teams are on the roster here. That's what we're talking about. And again, I don't want to like good for him to be in the locker room.
No.
It's just a different level of depth than you had a couple years ago.
Stuff happening in Boston sports. Fitzy and Mega will discuss it until 3:00. Curtis, enjoy Gillette.
I'll see you
Monday.
Tuesday.
See you Tuesday.
Bye.
Good job, Joe.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.